Once a Prime Minister of Australia by name Malcolm Fraser, in 1971, coined this famous word that every Australian knows for sure. Life is not meant to be easy, my child, but take courage, it can be delightful. Take courage, it might be delightful. And Malcolm Fraser, he coined these words after George Bernard Shaw. This is the guy who did this in one of his plays. That is the origin of the words. Yeah, truly. And if these men could figure it out, who should say this the most? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He said this in 7:28, John. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have defeated the world. And today this sermon is for those people who have been battling, people who have been going through hard things, people have been waiting for things in a godly way. And even like not to just delay or to leave you in suspense. Some are praying. I can keep talking. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, some are praying for things for many years, and it's not happening. Some are battling health issues for many years. It's not happening. Some want to see something amazing, and it's not happening. But you have been called to journey with Christ, to trust Him and to honor Him. Despite you go through troubles and pains and heartaches and troubles, He wants you to persevere and to know that He is the Lord. That was the thing He was saying to His disciples. So you know where have you come from and who you have come to believe, you have entrusted your life to. The disciples, they gave themselves to Christ, isn't it? To be His disciples. And that is all of us. Any of those who have come to Christ, they need to know this. That Christ is the Son of God. And as these people said, life can be delightful. And that was what will happen later on, isn't it, for the disciples. You see, they will be joyful. They will be worshiping as a result of the work of Christ. So let us see what has happened here. These occasions happened or took place immediately when Jesus fed 5,000 people. He fed 5,000 people with two loaves of bread or two fish and five loaves of bread. And then the Bible says, afterwards, He put His disciples on a boat and then He departed. He put them to cross over the lake. And Jesus Himself, this is verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side, to the Lake of Galilee. And as the disciples were going, they were just in the course of crossing, He Himself, Jesus, had to dismiss the crowds, like after that event. And then what happened? He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Jesus always, this is His habit. Every time He is coming to perform a supernatural miracle or to perform a miracle, He will always pray. He will go and pray. Lest the power of God is confused with the power of Satan, isn't it? And also He wants to go and commune with His Father in heaven. You see, He always does that because He Himself, God the Son, with His Heavenly Father, having dominion over the whole world. The authority that Jesus has is the authority that comes from God the Father. And so Jesus acting in this way, He put His disciples on the boat and He Himself, He went on a mountainside to pray. This is a way of God. That is why God taught us to pray. And to pray is to draw aside and to commune with our Heavenly Father and to receive power, you see, to overcome, to receive encouragement, fresh life breathed into us through the Holy Spirit, delighting in the things of God as we come into a fellowship with our Heavenly Father, the Holy God. You coming into contact with your Heavenly Father, the God Almighty. So those who look to the Lord, the memory verse last week, their faces were radiant. You see, you cannot come to God and look to Him and your face will never be radiant or your heart will not shine. with faith. That was what a word my friend said, the man I go to his retreat. And I'm praying that I might have a retreat in the future again. Because this is how we commune with God and we receive a strength for the journey. Because life was not meant to be easy. And God knows this. And he wants to prepare us. That is why Jesus had to prepare his disciples. And he has to prepare us also in this journey. You cannot do it without God and please him, isn't it? Can you please God? Our mind will choose to the wrong things, like I was sharing with kids. We will ask for the wrong things. What are the things that today people are asking for? Maybe you are not asking just for a car to take you to your work. Maybe a particular car. You see, BMW, X5 or X3 or something like that. You see, Mercedes. So you are so particular about these things. And these things can be very expensive, isn't it? And so you have something on the top of this to go surfing, you see. And then a certain brand, the thing that you want to just like rod and gun or whatever. So just imagine the things that you can really engage in. But God himself, he wants us to know this, that the life is difficult, but he is with us. So when Jesus was alone by himself, the boat already was at a considerable distance from the land, from the shore. So they are already in the midst of it. And then they are in the midst of it. How many of us who are in the midst of things today? So now disciples are just in troubles. The disciples are in troubles. Are you in trouble? Are you in trouble? Well, if you are not in trouble now, I can promise you also troubles will come. Because there is no single believer in the Lord that will not go through these things. The Bible says if people in the world, all of them go, all of us as human. So no one is exempted to go through the things of this world, the things of this life. Because the world is subjected to Satan and is a broken world. Even you can be the most righteous person on earth and still you will go have troubles. Even things you need to wait for God for. It's not, God is not doing this because he punishes us or he hates us or we are not righteous enough. But maybe these people, they figure out life was not meant to be easy. You see, as great is the glory, also great is opposition to the glory. Satan is working very hard. And God sometimes will allow things to test our faith. And things that we go through, has he come through? Is he coming through? In your journey, what is the things? What describes you? Is that the problems that you have gone through so far? Or the rescue of God himself? So if you have learned, like the disciples, they will learn their lesson, that they can go through the storm, through the winds, and through everything else. But Jesus Christ will never fail to save, isn't it? That is why he knows. That is why he went. He went to pray. Didn't he know that the enemy, the force of the darkness, because even theologians would debate, maybe this is natural winds and waves that are just, it's happened that the disciples were in the wrong place at the wrong time. No. Satan also can use even the forces of nature, really, to use them against human beings like us. The wind and the storms, how many damages that have happened even in our lifetimes, even through history. And righteous people just sleeping. Just the room, the home will just fall on them and destroy them. If the Lord is not aware of these things, if the Lord is not aware that there is a danger and there's something that is going to face you. And so does his disciples. They were there buffeted by the waves. That New English Translation says, like they were receiving beatings. The boat was receiving beatings from the winds and the waves because the waves was against it. You see, so there will be a lot of things that will be against human being. And then now we have established the fact that there are troubles we may face. You see, yes, but But now we are waiting for the Lord. We wait for the Lord to help us. We pray for the rescue. You see? I said to young people who are single that you don't have to wait until you are 35. But some have waited even beyond that, isn't it? And they kept themselves. Is it an easy thing? No, you are trusting the Lord. Is the Lord is going to come through? He's going to come through. Some people you have applied for positions for a number of times. And is that does that mean that you will not get a position, a job, a home? If God decides not to heal you, will He not comfort you and grow your faith through that trial and suffering? So now the disciples are in the middle of the sea and Christ is delaying. The question is here. If Christ knows that His disciples are battling waves and their lives is in danger, why would He delay that far, that long? Because the fourth watch here, it's not just at the beginning of the fourth watch. If we know that the sections of the night, you see 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. These are the four sections of the night that are called watch, four watches. And Jesus chose to come at the fourth watch or during the fourth watch. Maybe just at the end of the fourth watch, because we are told during that fourth watch, isn't it? During that time. Could be any time, isn't it? Jesus must have delayed so much. To the fact that the disciples, their lives was in jeopardy and they were just like really in trouble. But the thing here, I want to tell you, the Lord will not put us in situations where He would not come and reach us and help us. That is what happened. The Bible says here, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. It's Jesus who got them into that boat and asked them to cross over. The thing the Lord will ask us to go through that we will find so difficult to go through in our human ability, as we have seen here in the lives of the disciples. But because they are called disciples and you are called a Christian, and sometimes you call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, will Jesus not teach us the ways of God? Will He not teach us the ways of rescue? Because what matters here was not whether they were drowning or whatever, but the thing that they need to know, that this is what Jesus will tell them. Who is Jesus? Who is the one that who has put them in that boat? Who is the one that has called you to follow Him and love Him? That you will travel in. Some of us like really have cars. But some of us, they walk to bus stops. From bus stop to train stations. And train another trains and then to another train station. And then there even to walk to the church here. Just to come and worship. Didn't Jesus know that you will go through troubles? And maybe you have a knee problem? What is so unique about Jesus that someone would take really trouble to come and worship Him? So during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. So He went deliberately to them. He knows what they were going through. And immediately when the time came for Him to go and rescue them, He went. Like when He knew that He had to put them in that boat immediately. You see? So I love this verse in Mark. When people saw what Jesus was doing, they said, He does everything well. He does everything well. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He does everything well. Well, even if you are in the midst of a boat that is likely to be broken into pieces, your life is not finished. He has put you into that boat. Your life is not finished. And you are on the right journey, because you are on a journey that Jesus Himself has dictated for you. He didn't choose any other means, other roads for you, like He did for disciples. The life you have is uniquely designed by God Himself. That is His will for you, so that you know Him, that you love Him, and that your worship will be meaningful. And then now Jesus came to them, walking on the lake, walking on the water, supernatural, something no one would ever do. Only the one who has put his hand in Jesus. You know those small boats on the in Sydney and other places, like you said, you just hold on that and then woo, they're just playing on the water. You see? So if you tied yourself to a skillful diver or something like that, you will get through that, isn't it? So you may need to close your eyes and then you're just like, you just go like that. You see? If you are fearful. Because if you try to do it your own way, you will fall into the water. You see? So we are in the hand of a mighty Savior. That is what he did. So he came. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. You see, they were terrified. It is a ghost. Now they have a natural disaster. And now they have that look like a living thing. You see, our trouble sometimes, our fears are different, isn't it? The waves and the ghost. How can I face all these battles? How can you face all these troubles as a human being, isn't it? How can you face an opposition that is like that? How can you persevere when everything is against you? How can you do that? When even the best thing, even something so good you are hoping for and it's not happening, and it's torturing you, isn't it? So these guys, the problems are compound, isn't it? So it's too huge. And I know, even in our lifetime, we may not face only one trouble, isn't it? We saw Job, isn't it? So his children were dying, all his properties were taken, so he wanted to touch this and a problem everywhere. Have you ever experienced something like that? Have you ever experienced problem from everywhere? So this person opposing you, and then you want to solve this problem, another problem appears this side. You see, so it's just like that in the house. You see, washing machine and dishwasher, everything is breaking up. All the computers. You see, have you ever experienced things like that? So things can just go wrong. Run out of money, no money. Children getting in trouble in the schools. Losing your job. All these things. So when problems are too many, so we can have fear. But when we have fear, it's not a wrong thing to have fear. It's not wrong to feel bad about the things you face. Even it's not wrong to argue with God. You see, because that is what we are meant to be as fallen creatures, only saved by grace. We are weak in ourselves. We mourn. We feel the pains in our bodies and we fear death even. But Jesus will not allow us to go to that point where we will lose it altogether. That is why immediately, when he will know that our strength is small and that we cannot go any further and we can never endure, this is too much, just like that. It's too much. When it is too much, Jesus immediately will come and speak to you and say something like this. Take courage. Take courage. Believe. That is what it means here. Take courage. Because if you don't believe, there is no courage, isn't it? To believe. Take courage. Take courage. Don't lose heart. It's not finished. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not too late. Life is amazing ahead. Can be what they said? Can be delightful. Is that what they said? Huh? Can be delightful. Yeah. Life with the Lord Jesus Christ can be delightful. And that is what it is. That is why we are to reject religion that I have done everything right. Obviously, disciples, they did everything right. They were close to the Lord Jesus. And yet here they are facing troubles and they are dying. But it's not finished. And that is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. It's not finished. It's not too late. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will reveal his character to you in the text right now. Take courage. It is I. It is I. Don't be afraid. Who is this I? This is the very words Jesus, the Lord God Almighty himself, he uses about himself. The great I am, the God, the creator God, is the one who is in charge of his own people and also in charge of the whole creation. He has power and dominion over these things. You remember in the Old Testament that was read to us, the God's people were going through a lot of things, isn't it? They were coming out of Egypt, dominion of someone who was destroying their lives, enslaving them, putting their life into severe tests. You see, working very hard for these ones, being beaten most of the time, but God decided to bring them out. And he said, I will gain glory before for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptian will know that I am the Lord, the great I am. And Jesus is saying, I am. And now God is going to open the water. Jesus chose to walk on the water. The Lord will choose different means to bring you out of troubles, isn't it? But here, he says to Moses, tell the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be what? Still. You need only to be still and see the work of God. That is the sensation. That is the beauty. That is the delightfulness with walking with God. Having known that you have waited on the Lord and you're seeing his hand coming. And so you are on the path of righteousness for his own glory. And so what matters is like we are in the path of righteousness. We are in the path of pleasing God. Even if the world is saying things that we are not living according to their rules. And I discovered just recently that most Australians, they have a pattern of life. They have a pattern of life. And it's coming out. So whenever like there is a budget and things like that, and then people, you see sections of communities, like the divide in the community, you see it. You see conservatives and the radicals or the left-wing people. They don't believe the same thing. Then you see people living their lives according to certain patterns. But you, as a Christian, what is the pattern that you are called to live on? And that is my challenge to you today. We need to be bold enough not to live as people will dictate to us. There might be good things there, but when they dominate and they dictate how you live your life, and then you lose it altogether. All that you need to do, be still. That is what Jesus said to his disciples. He said to them, don't be afraid. It is I. And you see, sometimes we say, like, give me a sign, show me a sign. And then Peter says to him, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. The process of coming out of this. How do I come out of these troubles? What is the way that, if this is you, Lord, show me the way. But the way was looking like supernatural, was just beyond Peter. You see? And then he was told, okay, you come. Come, Jesus said. And this is the voice of the Lord. When he calls us to do something, he will enable us to do it. For the Lord will never ask us to do something for which he will not help us to do, or to become something that he will not make us. That is his character, and that is what we need to learn of him. A few weeks ago, I was just reading my Bible. Jesus was referring to himself, what he was saying. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, will it stay alone? Unless you come to walk with Christ in this way, to take courage and to know that it is him, things will be difficult for you. And so this is the plans. He says, I am come. So come, come. And to come to him requires faith, isn't it? Because his ways are not our ways, are not familiar with us. You see, I had an experience with Margaret in 1982. We were traveling from Nasa. We were going to Malakal. You see, and so as we were going to Malakal, so we stopped at my town. I was visiting relatives. And so we were going to proceed to go. I was going to start my year 7. So then now you can begin to calculate my age. So I was with his her mom, and so we were just really traveling together. And then I got out from my town, and I went to say farewell to my dad and my mom because I was going further to Malakal from Wolang. And then we delayed there, and I was just like, we were caught up in discussion, and then we missed the ship, left already, and traveled at a distance. And we just saw it this way, and we decided, like, we need to catch it. Just look at that. So my brother and I and my cousin, so we were running. Like, we decided not to just run like this. It will go that way because the current was so fast. And so we decided to go this way, just like to give ourselves some time to run. And so we were running with our small bag, and we were running. And Margaret and her mom, they were there. And then we were running, like, we got there. We said, look, can you stop? And then Nyamal, that is her mom's name, she decided to go to speak to the captain. And I saw her from the shore with her white robe on her, very tall, beautiful woman. And then she went there, and then she told the captain that these are my children. And then they decided really to come to the shore. And we boarded the boat to Malakal, and we were able to catch the school, isn't it? That way, that was just beyond imagination. And that thing, the same thing happened with me in 1993. I was traveling from Wadi Halfa to Egypt, you see. And the car, there was a distance from really the town and to the shore, you know. Yeah, to the port. And so our car delayed. And then we got there. I'm going quickly through the immigration. And then the boat was just leaving the shore altogether. And I said, what is going to happen now? I was at my final year, university. And then I just decided really to jump into the boat. I just went back, and then I came, just whoo, and I got in. And I got in just twice. These ways are so designed by God himself so that I don't miss any experience that I will tell of his works to this day. So God will have a way to bring you out. You see, I get a lot of examples. When I was getting married to Rebecca, so what was the verse that was I would choose for our card? Jeremiah, so giving you some secrets. I think it's Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. It is not for man to direct his steps. That was on the card of our marriage. Because you may have some fanciful idea of who to marry. You see, I thank God my wife is beautiful. You see? But that is not how God works. You see, you got like maybe blue eyes, red head, or something like that. You see, a certain degree, not engineer, not with IT, just maybe in the health sector, or any. These are not for you to choose and to decide, isn't it? If you are ever going to see the life as delightful, if you are ever going to see the plans of God being fulfilled in your life, you are to abandon yourself completely, because he cares. He is the great I am. He is the great I am. Come, come. That is what he will say always. Whenever God is doing something, he will strengthen your heart and give you all the evidences that that is him. Because it's a holy desire, it's a holy presence of God and his strength and power that moves, assuring you that it's God. It's God. God is in this. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So he started really to come out of trouble. But what happens? The word but. But when he saw the wind, you see, when he saw the problem, because that is how we are. When God is giving us a plan, an exit plan, we keep our eyes still on the problem and all the troubles. When God is bringing us out of it, it's finished. A relationship that is so clear here that the Lord wants you to fix your eyes on him. But you want to fix your eyes on the problems. And this is the problem of many people to us, of us today. Many people in this world in which we live. Right people, good people. It has to fit their intellectual capacity, the ways of the Lord, how the Lord brings out. They want to understand it. Or they are overwhelmed with a problem to the fact that they don't even believe that they could come out of this. Like someone coming out of jail, isn't it? It doesn't matter how the problem is big, how big is the problem. What matters is how the Lord is bringing you out of this. He can sort it out altogether. All that he needs, he said, take courage. Just fix your eyes on me. This exit plan is the best. You know, like those people who rescue people from the caves, like what happened in Thailand. Recently also there was an occasion also. I forgot to follow it carefully, but I heard it over the news quickly. This guy who was being interviewed, he was one of the experts bringing out people out of traps, things like that. You see? And then he said, actually, my design, his body, he's so slim, so small, because these places are really sometimes like the mud and things like that. They need someone who will not even like if you touch the wall, so might not be that powerful, isn't it? So God has designed him like that. He said that is what it was. That did help him. So Peter started to walk, but he saw the wind. He was afraid and beginning to sink. You see? So when we are close to the problem being solved, end of the problem, again we complicate things. Again, we come up with different ideas that will make the thing so bad again. And God cannot finish a work that he began with your addition, isn't it? Any addition is subtraction with God. It has to be purely him, his plan. Purely his plans. But to help, you can't help God. You hear a lot of people that we help God. You can't help God. He's almighty. He's powerful. You are the one who needs help. Help my faith. So these people, they look elsewhere. Peter looks elsewhere. And so begin to sink. Problem is not being solved. Please don't be there. When the Lord is beginning to bring you out, fix your eyes on him until the journey is done, until the problem is solved. And now this is what happens. Then he cried out, Lord, save me. But the good thing for us is that we have a Savior to whom we can cry. We will all fail. We will all miss the exit plans. But if we cry out, if we are aware of our failure and our inadequacies and our lack of faith, and if we cry out to him, he will save us. For Jesus never fails to save. That is his character. And this is the one you love, and this is the one you follow. So he wants you to cry out to him. And the greatest sin is not that you doubt or you grow weary. The greatest problem is not to seek the help from the one who is ready to help. That is the biggest problem. That is the gross sin that Jesus doesn't like. Jesus knows that we are sinners, isn't it? He knows that we will fail. If we say there is no sin in us, we are lying. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful. He will forgive us. That is the grace that Jesus has extended to us. And so when Peter cried out to him, and just he rebuked him, a gentle rebuke, not just when he was in the midst of problems. You know, Jesus doesn't rebuke us in the midst of troubles. He makes sure that we don't fail all the way together. That is why sometimes even when we raise up our children, when we realize that they are in the midst of troubles and they are overwhelmed, maybe we first thing we need to do is to help them come out to be in the right position. And then later on we can maybe gently admonish them and tell them that they should have done that. But when things are hard and they are confused completely, they need help. That is the character of Christ here. He didn't rebuke him immediately. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And then after that, he said to him, "You of little faith, why have you doubted? Why did you doubt?" So even this is an invitation not to doubt, isn't it? Not to doubt him at all, even if the exit plan seemed to be like really unique to you. You've never seen it before. You get it. You get it to it. You see? And then now we see this, the results. We got the problems, we see Jesus, and then now the result, isn't it? Jesus acting. Now what is the result of all the discipleship, of all the things that have taken place when Jesus allows us to go through tough things? So what is the result? What is the result when he has saved us? When he has saved us. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Of course, because he is the Son of God. He was able to control the nature, to walk on the nature, and also even to still the winds and the waves. And then that could only be interpreted that this is the divine Savior, the great I Am, the one who has the power and authority. This is the Savior. This is the one in whom we put our trust. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He cannot call us to journey with him where he will not finish, because he never failed to save. This is the Son of God. And they worshipped. All the things that God will do for us. And this is my last point. They drive us to this point where we worship, where we are lost in praise and adoration of his character. Not only that he has saved us, but also he has given us this privilege and grace to know his power and rescue and care and love and attention, for he's our God. Not everybody who has not learned to be a disciple, who have come to Jesus Christ, will experience these things. God in his own ways, outside our knowledge, he might use, he is sovereign. But for us who have been given this knowledge, this is our God. And we are to worship him in truth and in spirit, and to trust him all the way, regardless of the things that we face, and to take up every plan that he has given us. You see, every plan. They may ask you, my first job, I was an assistant principal of the school. There were a lot of people older than me, and I didn't have the experience, the expertise, but the Lord taught me he can teach us all. And so for us today, even like we are considering the things of the South, I nearly changed my message yesterday, because we are in the process of raising up deacons. And a deacon is a person who trusts the Lord, who sees the ways of the Lord that are not really our ways. And so this is the character of a servant. That was what Alex said to us. A deacon is a servant of God. And we are all called to trust Jesus and to know that even if it seemed to be delaying, the last watch of the night, Jesus will come always. And the beauty of this is when all the human plans fall short and fail. That was what happened. They tried over the night, and so nothing was happening. And so human attempts will always fail. will yield to nothing so comforting, something that will lead to worship, but God's ways. We resolve in adoration. We resolve in true worship, in the love for God, and surrender fully to His plans and to His service, and to spend everything, talents, wealth, everything, energy, everything, that He might take all the glory. That is what He wants of His people. Let us rise together. Let us stand together, and let us know that Jesus never failed to save. Let us rise. I'm going to pray, and I was asked to Margaret will be traveling to Kenya next Sunday. Her brother, her nephew, niece. Is she just finished her training as a pilot, so she supported her so much. So it's a good opportunity for her to go and be with her and to really celebrate with her. So we will pray for her. And I'd like to pray too for you, if you are like the person Jesus described, Peter, why did you doubt? So if that the Lord may strengthen your faith. And I pray for those who are sick in our midst. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are our God and Father in heaven. We thank you that we can ask you, Lord God, and ask you of things even as we were sharing with the children. And Lord God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit teaches us to ask the things that, Lord, are on your heart. For we do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays in us. Father in heaven, you have your word teaches us to mourn with those who are mourning and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We rejoice with Margaret, Lord God, Pagwir, that, Lord, as she goes to Kenya, you go before her and bless Nyamal. Thank you that you gave her, Lord God, that opportunity, Lord, to train and to have a gainful employment so that she can serve you. Lord, I pray you reveal yourself to her, Jesus. Lord, if she doesn't know you, if she knows you, Lord, strengthen her faith in you, oh Lord. And just bless Margaret and bless Chan and the kids here. Father in heaven, I pray for those who are in our midst, who are trusting God for something for so long, even up to the last watch. Father in heaven, I pray that, Lord, you, this might be the last watch for them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you move powerfully. And Lord, even those who are crying in their hearts right now, who are praying and trusting you for something, I pray, meet them, O Lord. Grant them the request of their hearts. And Father, we can never forget to pray for this country in which we live. We thank you for the land of Australia. Thank you for those who have gone before us, who have served us, who have kept the faith, that today we are working on their labor. And we are reaping, Lord God, things that we did not work for. But Lord, grant us favor in your sight, that we too may contribute for the coming generation in faith and in every way, Father in heaven. For this is the essence of your character, and this is the pathways for the righteous people who will serve their community for the glory of God. And Father, I pray if there are any in our midst who are sick, oh God, my Father, I pray, touch them, I pray. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our physician, great physician, the Lord who heals. Lord, I pray for your healing mighty, your mighty healing to, Lord, penetrate our bodies, so that we may live as strong as your people and serve you, O Lord God, in this world. And Father, strengthen our faith as we battle against the wind and the waves of this world. Pray that we will fix our eyes on Jesus. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move and to fill us with joy, to be worshippers and to be glad, and to know that the life that the Lord has called us into can be delightful. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.